Welcome to the podcast that focuses on simplifying your TIAA accounts. Your host, Greg Shepherd, is an independent fee-only financial advisor that specializes in helping folks in higher ed get the most out of their TIAA accounts.
Hey there, folks. Greg Shepherd here. As always, I am your humble host. Welcome back to the TIAA Simplified Podcast. This is where we being me, help you unravel, unwind, just basically simplify those TIAA accounts, and generally speaking, higher ed retirement plans across the board and across the country. This episode is all about you all. You send me questions, I try to answer them as best I can via email and on the phone as well. But I'm going to share with you, three or four questions that I wrote down that I think would be advantageous to you good folks out there dealing with these TIAA accounts. And lastly, I'm going to end with my, let's call it observation. Over the last maybe couple months or so, I have to admit I've been slacking on the podcast episode front. But I tell you what, folks, go check out that YouTube channel. It's doing well. A lot of you folks have been giving me good feedback, so been focusing a little bit more on that front. But I promise for you folks that use your ears to learn, I will do a better job at recording these episodes. I try to do them every couple weeks, so we're going to try to stick to that cadence. All right, folks, let's kick it off with some disclosure. I've been told, as you've heard in other episodes, that this, for whatever reason, this one sentence keeps those attorneys at bay. How? Folks, I don't have a clue. I just do what I'm told, right? So the disclosure sentence goes like this. Investment advisory services offered by me, Greg Shepherd, as an investment advisor rep of SNA Financial Services, which is a registered investment advisor. Okay, so if you have any questions over this episode or any other episodes that you listen to during the podcast, by all means, contact me. My email, greg@shepherdfinancial.com, greg@shepardfinancial.com. Phone. A lot of you have been using the phone lately. Good for you. 913-521-2381. 913-521-2381. Yes, that is in the Kansas City area. I am in a suburb outside of Kansas City. But with the advancements of technology, lo and behold, I'm able to help folks just like you all over the country. Speaking of, I tell you what, you folks on the East Coast, taking the lead. Maybe the folks on the West Coast, maybe y'all got it figured out. But I don't hear, for whatever reason, I can't figure out. East of me, again, I'm in Kansas City. East of me, we're talking a lot from New York, Jersey. Just onboarded someone from Pennsylvania, Virginia. A lot of folks in the Jersey area. But I tell you what, west of me, crickets. I think I onboarded maybe a couple from the West Coast. This is a random tangent, but I can't figure it out. Needless to say, okay, that's a big nothing burger. Had nothing to do with anything that we're doing. So let's go ahead and jump into it. Let me read the questions quickly, and then we'll dive into them individually. Again, these are your all's questions that you presented me that I thought would be advantageous to you good folks out there. So I'm going to dive into the issue of me, or I guess you, wanting an advisor locally. So I'm going to talk about that. How does it work with me being in Kansas City and you being, well, from past experience here on the East Coast, at least east of Kansas City? Next, generally speaking, how can you increase your TI traditional rate? Okay, that's pretty common question amongst you folks out there. So I'll talk about that a little bit. TPA strategy. So that stands for transfer payout annuity. Strategies, and I'll get into some of the logistics of that. But a lot of you get a little confused as to what that is and how it works. So I'll dive into that. And let's see, I got it written down here. Okay, so how does an independent advisor differ from my TIAA rep or any other advisor that you have maybe outside of TS? Well, I'll shed some light on that. In observations, I'll close with some things I've seen in the last, like I said, pretty much this year, 2024. This is May of 2024. So again, I'll shed some light, pull the curtains back, and give you an idea of what you all are doing wrong, maybe, okay, out there. And again, by all means, if you get tripped up or in the weeds on this episode, just give me a holler via email or phone, and we'll get you squared away. Okay, first topic at hand. Do I have to be local? Well, the answer is no. Some of you may want someone local, but I tell you what, here's how I'll tackle this question. You are going to be hard-pressed to find someone in the independent space, okay, that's someone like me, independent advisor, that specializes in helping folks in higher education with TIAA accounts. That's probably why you stumbled on my podcast and my YouTube and or the YouTube channel. There's just not a lot of us out there. Independent advisors, obviously I know quite a few of the good men and women in this industry. Usually independent advisors just don't want to deal with the TIAA accounts because, well, of the reasons why you're listening to this podcast right now. There's a lot of nuances, a lot of twists and turns, and it takes a lot of time to understand and learn the nuances. Fortunately, I've been doing this for 20 years, so it just kind of came by default. Little background, my father actually introduced me to this niche, if you will, this sector, way back when, 2001, I guess was the first time I talked to folks in higher education, but he, prior to me, was doing this probably 20 years prior, so he's been doing this a long time. He taught me tricks of the trade, if you will, and I just kind of carried that torch and, you know, a little firm note here. He's 73 years old and retiring. That's the game plan, at least. I can't seem to kick him out the door. He just keeps coming around and wanting to work, so good for him. I say that tongue-in-cheek, right? He's one of my best friends. So we'll be turning the firm over to me at the end of this year. Again, that really has nothing to do with anything. But nonetheless, you just don't find a lot of independent advisors in the higher ed TIAA platform retirement space. Folks, I may have run across 2-3 nationally, under 5 for sure. If there's more than that, they just don't do a good job of marketing and presenting themselves because I can't find them. And I've done a lot of research on this stuff. So again, back to the question, do you have to be local? The answer is no, folks. You know, with the advancements of technology, hey, folks, I do a lot of Zoom calls, okay? So we onboard folks all across the country every week, every month, you know, just like you, that need help simplifying the TIAA stuff. And we do it through Zoom, okay? Some of you have asked about, like, registrations and licensing. Don't worry about that. If we need to get licensed or registered, I won't get into the details of SEC, you know, rules and regulations when it comes to state by state, but if we do need to get licensed, it's not that big of a deal. But odds are we don't. We probably have a number of clients in your state already, so don't worry about that. Next topic at hand, how can you increase your TI traditional rate? Let me do this. this could be a whole episode in and of itself. Before I get into that, folks, hey, this is, again, May of 2024. Don't be sleeping on these money market rates, okay? Before I get into the TI traditional rates, I just onboarded, coincidentally, an individual this morning, okay? Up in the East Coast, he was east of me. We looked at money market rates. I'm not going to get into the deep dive of this particular case, but you have, again, May of 2024, liquid contracts, depending upon the contract, at around 5%. Okay, IRA the same, 5%. Right now, again, May of 2024, folks, this is not investment advice. Do not construe it as such. You got money markets sitting north of 5. Now, I get it. Those aren't long-term. They're variable. They will go down once Jerome Powell decides to do anything that he says he's going to do and lower those rates, money market will be negatively affected, which is fine. That time's coming. But right now, don't sleep on those money markets, okay? That's a whole other episode on that. But we did implement some money market funds with this individual in combination with some liquid and illiquid TI traditional rates. So that kind of is a good segue to the question, how do you increase your TI traditional rate? The easiest answer is, well, this isn't the easiest answer. The laziest answer is the 120-day restoration rule. Now, a lot of you folks out there aren't going to know what I'm talking about. And as I've alluded to in the past, you're probably running up against the tail end of that strategy working, but it could still be in play. TIAA, the board, just raised for new deposits going into May. So as I alluded to in a video, a lot of you folks kind of in the middle of that 120-day restoration rule. Good for you, right? So it's working out probably for you. Most folks I talk to that have been with TF for quite a while, most of, not everybody, of course, folks, but most of you that haven't done any strategies in the last couple years, you're looking at rates, static rates of around 4, maybe even sub 4. So just about any strategy you implement should be increasing that rate, okay? And folks, just a little side note here. I talked to an individual last week, didn't come on as a client. It was never really an option. I gave this person some free directional pointers, okay? Sitting at something like 3.25% liquid, TIA traditional. I said, hey, jump in those money markets, okay? Hit north of 5%. And worry about TIA traditional if you want that stability later. Just enjoy that 5% right now and get out of that 3.25%. Okay, what was I getting at? Okay, 120-day restoration rule, that's always an option. If you don't know what that is, a good resource for you is my YouTube channel. I do talk about that, but look it up on your own. Again, 120-day restoration rule is a good strategy to use. Another way to take advantage of rates is just new money's going in, right? I did this for other folks, locked up money with the knowledge that we're going to tackle extraction strategies down the road. But folks, like an RA contract getting 5.5%, if you're below, I'm just making this number up, like 50 years old or 50-ish, you know, it's not investment advice, but it could be advantageous for you to dump money into that RA contract, get 5.5%, and then in the back of your head, make sure you understand the exit strategy, okay? It'd be a sleeve of your portfolio, by all means, not the entire portfolio, but that makes sense for a lot of folks out there. 5.5% is hard to ignore, right? Again, I don't want to get into the details. If you have questions over what I just said, by all means, shoot me an email. We'll get you squared away. Some of these contracts, again, I think my YouTube channel would be a good resource. You can do contract swaps to increase your TI traditional rate. This gets a little tricky. I haven't run across anybody that's successfully done this. Quite the contrary, it's backed up on folks. So I'm not going to get into the weeds here either, but make sure you have someone help you out. And TIA, the folks at TIA, well, you have to ask them the right questions, okay? They're not going to probably present that strategy. They could help you out with that, but there's a few different ways you can increase your rate, of course, depending upon what the current rate is, okay, because I think that goes without saying. Let's move on here. TPA strategies. All right. TPA stands for Transfer Payout Annuity. This is going to be afforded to those that have three specific contracts, okay? You got the retirement annuity, the GRA, Group Retirement Annuity, and Retirement Choice. Now, you basically three different options with the TPA, okay? You can transfer to other investments within your employer's plan. You can actually do this while you're still in service, okay? But you can do it post-service as well. I think it's more advantageous to do it for those looking to liquidate the TPA while you're still employed, okay? So you can take a TPA and direct it back to that contract and invest it in other options in your plan, absent of traditional, okay? And there's strategies and reasons as to why people do that. Second, TPA option, I guess, you can withdraw it as income, right, for cash. That's a taxable event, all right, for taking it as income. The other one I just spoke about is not, and the third one is not either. It's not a taxable event. That's when you roll that money over to an IRA, take those annual distributions, and you direct it to an IRA. Now, the TPA in and of itself is not revocable, so it's an irrevocable event, but you can change the direction of those payments, okay? And there's reasons as to why people do that as well. A question I get with these TPAs is what's going on with the interest rates with that static money while the TPA is in process? Now, you're still making money, okay? That's the bottom line. You're still making money on the money that's sitting there in traditional. And specifically, I wrote this down here, so forgive me if this sounds verbatim, because yes, I am reading verbatim. Each TPA installment from an RA contract or a GRA is based on a guaranteed interest rate of 2.5% plus additional amounts, if any, credited above the guaranteed rate. So for the retirement choice, it's different. The RC Installments are based on a guaranteed interest rate ranging from 1 to 3%. Okay? So those are the guaranteed rates. Those crediting, those additional amounts can change over time, but nonetheless, you are making money on that money while you're going through that 9-year process. On that, it's a 10-year TPA, if you didn't know this, paid out over 9 years. Okay, let's move on. Again, that could be a whole episode. If you have questions on that, just let me know. Third, let's see, what do I have written down here? Actually, it's fourth. How does my independent advisor... Okay, sorry, I can't read my own handwriting. So if you have an independent... if you have an advisor over at TIA or maybe outside of TIA, how do those individuals differ from an independent advisor like myself? This one's pretty simple. Compare and contrast the TIA rep, the TIA advisor, okay? There's different ways you can access a TIA advisor. There's free and there's for pay, okay? They're kind of in the same bucket in the sense that they, who do they work for, right? They work for TIA. And it's notorious. I'm not saying it's wrong, folks. I'm just saying that these are just the facts. They typically are going to push those lifetime income annuity options, which that works for some people. Some people know, you know, there's a lot of people in the middle where we combine that stuff. But they're obviously going to not sell you. They're going to push you the proprietary products under the TIA umbrella. My contention is, how can you be a true fiduciary advisor when all you're talking about is the stuff under your employer's umbrella? Okay? Are we saying that there's nothing better than what TIA has outside of TIA? Did I say that correctly? You get what I'm saying? So let me give you a little insight as to how my plans typically end up. My plans being the retirement income plan, retirement plan, obviously, after you've retired. It's usually a combination of both. In my case, I custody assets at Charles Schwab. Usually a case of doing the best of what Schwab does and the best of what TIA does. And TIA does great at TI traditional stuff. So we have a combination of a vendor outside TIA and TIA at the same time. Now, if you just talk to a TIA advisor, they can't do that. Everything is underneath the TIA umbrella, okay? And let's be honest here. They're going to do what boss tells them to do, okay? And that's push certain things. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong. They're great folks over at TIA. Just be cognizant. Your money, be aware of the situation. That's why I always advocate. I'm biased, of course. They should utilize an independent advisor. Now, if you have a local independent advisor, how someone like myself would be different is, does that person work with TIA? Okay, do they have a clue as to all this stuff I'm talking about? I've seen this time and time again where an independent advisor that doesn't necessarily know what they're doing with TIA, they have good intentions, but their number one motive is to liquidate everything as quick as possible over at TIA, roll it over to like Schwab, and then charge you a fee on that money. Okay? Because remember, folks, an independent advisor cannot charge you, or they shouldn't be charging you, directly from TIAA traditional. It doesn't exist. And that's what I always tell my folks. We're going to charge you, we don't work for free, right? So we're going to charge a fee on the assets outside of traditional, but that's not going to be a compass. That's not going to be an incentive for us to extract monies from traditional. We're going to do what's in the best interest of the client, okay? So there's a little synopsis, I guess, a quick synopsis of how someone like myself, an independent advisor working with TIA, would be different than working with a TIAA rep. Again, there's a few more nuances, but I think that kind of encompasses what I wanted to say. Observations. This is a good one. How much time we got here? Observations in the last couple months. More like this year. Again, we're in May. I got one observation. I don't have this written down. I'm going to lead and end with this one observation. And I did a YouTube video on this, by the way, so feel free to check that out. You folks out there in higher ed, and again, TIA is obviously afforded to those in medical, nonprofit, but those that are reaching out to me seem to be in the higher ed space. Those of you out there that are reaching out to me are very intelligent people, a lot smarter than myself, which isn't too difficult to accomplish. But nonetheless, you're very good at, you know, doing research and figuring out strategies, you know, and of course, with my help, we execute those strategies. But I don't want to use the word terrible, but not proficient in constructing and executing an income producing portfolio. And again, I urge you, and I'll throw it down in the show notes. I urge you to take a look at the YouTube video I did on that. A lot of you just don't, you know, you go over to Vanguard, for example. A lot of you go over to Vanguard. I love Vanguard. We use Vanguard stuff on the Schwab platform, right? In my opinion, folks, my opinion only, you can get better income producing stuff outside Vanguard, right? A lot of you just don't have a clue what I'm talking about on that front. Tongue in cheek here. I always ask folks, especially when they come on board and we're a little more comfortable in the conversations that we have, you know, how many times have you prepared, constructed a retirement income portfolio? I already know the answer. The answer is, well, zero before this because I've retired once, you know, for the most part. A lot of people go back, you know, absent of that, right? So you're going to leave it up to yourself to construct and extract monies from the most important financial bucket you have in order to successfully live the way you want monetarily. I tripped over my tongue there. Probably didn't say that correctly, but you get what I'm saying? You don't know what you don't know. I say that all the time. And you don't know the best, most efficient income-producing investments to accomplish said goal. I'm not talking to everybody, but a lot of you folks out there, you got to be humble enough to understand you don't know all the nuances of these income-producing portfolios, all right? That's really the one observation I've seen, paramount to any others. On a comical note, maybe, again, I did a quick YouTube on this. The strategies you all are trying to implement, trying to skirt some of the rules of TIAA, are not only humorous and entertaining, but not allowed. Okay, a lot of you are failing on some of these strategies. Hey, I give you credit. You don't know what is it? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So I guess that applies to you all out there on the strategies you're trying to execute. Folks, I'll tell you this, as I've said in the past, T has been around since 1920, right? Anything you've thought of, you know, in terms of skirting the rules, folks, someone else thought about it before you, and they failed, and Tia got wind of it. So you're not going to creatively think about any strategy that Tia hasn't prior that you're going to accomplish without them knowing. And I tell you what, folks, if you have, contact me. I would love to hear from you. All right, folks. That'll probably much wrap it up. We're about 30 minutes here. So I just wanted to relay some of the questions that you've sent my way. By all means, keep it coming. Hey, you folks on the West Coast, let's get it going, right? Start sending me some questions. Or maybe you all have it figured out. I don't know. Send me some questions. I'd love to help you out. Again, my name is Greg Shepherd, but I intended to give you my email, which is greg@shepherdfinancial.com. greg@shepard. Again, if you're so inclined to use that telephone, number is 913-521-2381. All right, folks, that's all I got for you today. Greg Shepherd here with TIAA Simplified Podcast, telling you all out there, take control of your retirement today. Take care, folks.
Thanks for listening to the TIAA Simplified Podcast. Just because this episode is over doesn't mean you can't continue your TIAA journey. Please visit www.safinancialservices.com to see how you can work with Greg.
S&A Financial Services is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.